friends, welcome to Riverwood Podcast. I'm Brother Alain Mizal, founder of Riverwood International Ministries here in Laval, Quebec, Canada. We are almost at the end of our series on the subject of knowing God, where we have gone through the major character traits of God. Our podcast can be found by subscribing to iTunes, Twitter, or Facebook, and also at www.riverword.podomatic.com, and are sponsored by Riverword International Ministries here in Laval, Quebec, Canada. This week's subject is on justice, a moral character of God. Justice, a moral character of God. Again, I remind you that some of the materials regarding these series of teachings can be found on a very good book written by Dr. Richard Booker entitled What Everyone Needs to Know About God. What Everyone Needs to Know About God, a book written by Dr. Richard Booker, who is a renowned teacher on the Hebraic roots of Christianity and the Christian Church, and is the author of the bestseller book, The Miracle of Scarlet Thread. Dr. Booker and his wife, Peggy, head up the Institute for Hebraic and Christian Studies out in Woodlands, Texas. And his teachings have really made a huge impact in my personal life and ministry. I love him as a spiritual father. Now, in our pursuit for the knowledge of God, we've come to understand that justice is one of the key moral character traits of God. From a human standpoint, it's not easy to accept that there is a God that sits in heaven and administers justice on the earth. That is because, looking at things from the small window of our lives, it seems like bad guys are always getting away with mischiefs and crime, and the good guys are unjustly and mercilessly punished. Now, what can justify, after all, the killing of 6 million Jews by Hitler's, you know, Nazi Germany? Simply because these guys happen to be Jews. And how can a just God stand by and allow such an injustice to proceed unchecked? But yet, when things are carefully examined, you know, from a God perspective and on his scale of things, we see that God is effectively exercising justice with mercy and love on the earth. Here is what Deuteronomy chapter 32 says regarding God's justice. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 3 to 4. For I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. A God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. Hallelujah. The Hebrew word translated in Greek to mean just or righteous is the word tzedek or tzaddik, depending on which Hebrew version you're using. Tzedek or tzaddik. This is the word from which we get the name of God, Jehovah Tzidkenu, which means God our justice, or the Lord our justice. Hallelujah. Now, God's justice, or the fact that God is just, is in that he gives us exactly, perfectly what we deserve because he is the standard of what is right. God is just because he gives us exactly and perfectly what we deserve because he is the standard of what is right. That standard of God's justice and righteousness was epitomized in the person of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Yeshua Mashiach, our Lord. This is what Psalms chapter 92, verse 15 says. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. The Bible says that there is no unrighteousness whatsoever in God. In God there is no unrighteousness. Not one iota of unrighteousness is in him. Hallelujah. The Bible declares that there is no unrighteousness or injustice in God. On the contrary, the Bible also tells us that in all of mankind, there's none who is righteous. Romans chapter 3 verse 10. Romans 3:10. No one is righteous. Not one. Now, we may look righteous when we compare ourselves to other nasty, mean human beings. You know, some people think that the Dalai Lama is righteous. But when we compare the Dalai Lama and ourselves in the sight of God, we quickly realize that we can't live up to his standard. We can't live up to God's standard. The Bible says in Isaiah that our self-righteousness is like filthy rags in the sight of God. Our self-righteousness is like filthy rags in the sight of God. It's the sort of things that make up the fig leaves. You remember when Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden? The one thing that they did was to go and cover themselves with fig leaves. Fig leaves are the type of self-righteousness. And self-righteousness smells before our God. Hallelujah. This is what Isaiah chapter 64 says. Isaiah chapter 64 verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Now, there are four major consequences that we have to derive from God's justice and righteousness. Four main things, four main avenues that come from the fact that God is just and righteous. First of all, God's ways are just and right. God's ways are just and right. Number two, God's laws are just and right. Number three, God's judgments are just and right. Number four, God's wrath and anger are right. Hallelujah. Let's go through these four different avenues. Hallelujah. God's ways are just and right because justice and righteousness are his nature. God's ways are just and right because justice and righteousness are God's nature. And he can't deal with us otherwise. There's no other way God can deal with us except dealing with us in a just and righteous way. His dealings with man are perfectly fair and equal to what we deserve. That is what being right. God's dealing with us, with man, are perfectly, all his dealings with us are perfectly fair, and they are equal to what we deserve. Now, this is what prophet Hosea had, you know, in mind. Hosea chapter 14 verse 9. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord, These are the things that Prophet Hosea wanted us to know. The ways of the Lord are right, and the upright walk in them, but the transgressors stumble in them. The ways of the Lord are right, and the upright walk in them, but the transgressors stumble in them. Now, these words are from Prophet Hosea. Prophet Hosea, to whom God gave as wife a woman named Gomer. Now, this woman Gomer was a prostitute. The woman Gomer was a prostitute that would bring him illegitimate children and eventually will leave him for a lover. Yet, Hosea will begin to look. He will begin to search for his prostitute wife, driven by that indestructible divine love, love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, love that never ends, the God kind of love. prophet Uzziah will eventually find his wife. He will find her ragged, torn, sick, dirty, disheveled, destitute, chained to an auction block in a filthy slave market. A repulsive shadow of the woman she once was in his house. Yet, prophet Uzziah will buy back his wife, his slave wife. He will buy her back and take her back home. This is the prophet that say that the ways of the Lord are right, and the upright walk in them. Hallelujah. You remember when King David fell into sin in the sight of God by committing adultery with Bathsheba. God's justice meant that the child that was born out of that relationship had to die. That was God's holiness dictating that. Hallelujah. Even though the child was innocent in this situation. But God's mercy was extended to David, who needed it the most and longed for God's presence. To David, God extended his mercy. And this is what David says in the book of Psalms. These are the words from David. Psalms 145, verse 17. The Lord is just in all his ways and kind in all his doings. The Lord is just in all his ways. Even though he had a child that died as a result of his bad relationship with Bathsheba, as the Lord decreed it. But David saying, the Lord is just in all his ways. Now, we do not always understand why and how God exercises his justice. But we can rest in this one thing, that whatever God does, he does it because it is right, and he does it right. I say it again. We can rest in this one thing, that whatever God does, he does it because it is right, and he does it right. Hallelujah. Now, number two, God's laws are right and just. Now, the original Hebrew word that was extensively translated in the New Testament in the Greek word nomos or law is the Hebrew word Torah. So when the Bible was translated from Aramaic, from Hebrew into Greek, the Greek had only this one word, nomos, which meant Torah. When you translate nomos from Greek into English, the only word that you get is law. The Greek did not have any other word for Torah except nomos. Now, to the Hebrew mind, the primary purpose for Torah is to instruct humanity as to how to hit the mark of life, as opposed to committing sin, which would mean to miss the mark of life. Torah is the feminine noun from the root word yara. And the root word yara means to throw or to shoot. To learn how to shoot and hit the mark in life. That is Torah. Now, Torah effectively means to point out, to show, to guide, to direct, to teach, to instruct. All those kinds of words mean Torah. To show, to guide, to teach, to instruct, to direct. Hallelujah. That's what Torah means. It doesn't mean anything that is rigid, like a law that somebody needs to follow. No, Torah means to guide you, to instruct you so you can hit the mark of life. So you can live a life that is straight before the Lord, before God, hallelujah. But because the Greek language had only the one term for law, now whether speaking of the law of God, the law of sin, the law of spirit of life, or the law of Christ, it is often difficult to determine which law is being addressed by Paul in the New Testament. And people misinterpret Paul in any way in all of his epistles. In the epistles, in Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, or Hebrews, Paul was talking to new Gentile believers, to new non-Jewish believers who just came to join the church. At that time, the church was dominantly a Jewish church, and you know, there were new believers coming in the church, and Paul and to address the fact that the Jewish Christians were telling the new Christian believers that the only way they were going to be saved is if they were going to live like Jews and follow all the Jewish traditions. And so Paul was writing all these epistles to these new Christians, telling them, no, you don't need to be circumcised. You don't need to follow the kosher diet and all these things in order to be saved. But Paul did not say that it was wrong to do those things, of course. He was not telling the Jews to stop doing them, but he was saying that it was not necessary for the new non-Jewish Christians to be following Jewish traditions in order to be saved. Paul was telling them that it was not necessary for them to abide by the Jewish customs to be saved. In fact, God did not give the Hebrews the law so that they can be saved by it. Anybody who has ever been saved has been saved by grace through faith in the blood of the innocent substitutionary sacrifice for sin. In the First Testament, which we call the Old Testament, they were looking forward to Messiah coming through the blood of bulls and goats. If they believed in their heart and practiced what they believed in their lives, they were saved by grace through faith in the blood of the innocent substitutionary animals. We, New Testament believers, are saved in the same way. We are just looking backwards. We are looking back to the reality of that being fulfilled through the blood of the innocent substitutionary sacrifice in the person of Messiah Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Brother Richard Booker actually says it in his book that really God wanted his just and right character to be seen through his people as they live according to his just and right laws. Now, this is what Psalms chapter 19 says concerning the law. Okay, Psalms chapter 19, verse 7 to 8. The law of the Lord is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The law of the Lord is perfect. Hallelujah. It is the law, it is the word of God that converts the soul. Glory to God. The law of God is our schoolmaster, showing us that we are guilty before God and leading us to Jesus, our messianic justification through repentance. Without the law, how would you know that you need a savior? How would you know that you have committed sin? How would you know that you've transgressed the will of the Lord, the will of the Father? How do you know how to walk in obedience with God? We need the law of God, the instructions, the teachings of the Lord. Hallelujah. This is what Galatians chapter 3, verses 21 to 24 says. And I'm saying this knowing that there's a lot of grace teaching out there. It's good to teach about grace. Grace is a good thing. But there got to be a balance between grace and instruction. There got to be a balance between grace and the word. Grace and the word and the instructions that God has given us in the Bible, that God has given us in his book. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3, verse 21 to 24 says this. Is the law then against the promises of God? Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been in the law. But the scripture has confirmed all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under God by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Hallelujah. That's what I say. The whole Testament, we're looking forward to the faith that was going to be revealed from the coming of Messiah Jesus. Hallelujah. Therefore, the law was our tutor. Therefore, verse 24, therefore the law was our tutor, to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. It is the law that teaches us and that brings us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Hallelujah. Now, number three, God's judgments are right and just. God's judgments are right and just. The righteousness and justice of God requires him to judge us. He will always judge us rightly in accordance with his nature, his goodness. God can't judge us otherwise. He can't judge us any other way, but through his nature. And one of the key ingredients of his nature is his goodness. Hallelujah. David had the same problem that New Testament believers seem to have today in questioning God's judgment when evil seems to win over good and the wicked seem to be prospering while the just are suffering. The same question we ask ourselves, why is it that the bad guys have all these fortunes and so on? And David had the same problem. Psalms chapter 73. Psalms 73, verses 2 to 3. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. David was envious of the boastful when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. He couldn't figure out why would the wicked prosper. Hallelujah. I myself asked the same question. But then David had his answer in the same Psalms 73, verses 17 to 19. David says this, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their hand." The hand of whom? The hand of the wicked. "Then I understood their hand. Surely you set them in slippery places." God set the wicked in slippery places, places that are so slippery, they can stand on them. Hallelujah. They can stand on their wealth. Hallelujah. The wicked can stand on their wealth. "You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation. As in a moment." The wicked are brought to desolation. As in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terror. Glory to God. So don't be envious of the wicked. Don't be envious of the bad guys that are making fortunes. That money is on slippery slope. It's only for a moment. And in a twinkle of an eye, that wealth will disappear. That's God's justice. The righteous and just nature of God. The righteous and just nature of God is a guarantee that it will deal with injustice and turn everything that is wrong right. Glory to God. This is what Jeremiah chapter 17 says. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 to 11. Jeremiah 17, 7 to 11. "Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. Empowered to prosper are those who trust in the Lord." Those who trust in the Lord are empowered to prosper. They have an anointing upon their life that will cause them to prosper. Hallelujah. "Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord." Blessed are those whose trust is the Lord. "They shall be like trees planted by the water, sending out its roots by the stream." There is a stream in the life of a person who trusts in the Lord. And that stream is the stream of the anointing of God. When you believe, when you put your trust in God, when the Lord is your trust, there is something in your life, there is something in you, that something is called the anointing of God. It is a stream. It is a stream in which your roots are deep. Your life is rooted in there, in that stream. Hallelujah. And the Bible said this, "It shall not fear when heat comes." The Bible doesn't tell you that the heat will not come. Jeremiah chapter 17, it says, "It shall not fear when the heat comes." The heat will come. Being a Christian doesn't guarantee you a troubleless life. Being a Christian doesn't say that you won't face challenges. Being a Christian doesn't exclude you from any challenges, from any trials and tribulations. trials and tribulations will come. The Bible says that your leaves, even in a time of the heat, when the heat comes, it will be around you, but your leaves will stay green. Hallelujah. In a year of drought, it shall not be anxious, but it shall not cease to bear fruit. Even the year of drought will come. There will come hard times, but you will keep on bearing fruit. You will keep on bearing fruit because of the anointing of God, that stream that is in your life. Hallelujah. The stream of the Holy Ghost, the stream of the anointing, the stream of favor, the stream of God's anointing, of God's favor that floods your life. And the Bible says this in verse 9. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? You can't understand the heart of a man. You can't understand the heart of your brother. You can't understand the heart of your associates. But it says this in verse 10. The Lord tests the mind and searches the heart to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. Glory to God. Your doings have fruit. Your doings, the way you walk before the Lord, the way you walk before God, the way you conduct your life before the Lord has fruits. It has a salary attached to it. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that the Lord will test, it will weigh, it will judge your heart, it will judge the motives, it will judge the drives and everything that is behind your heart. Hallelujah. And it will give you in accordance, according to what you deserve, according to your ways, according to the way you behave, you walk before him, according to the way you love your neighbor, and you pray for your enemies. Glory to God. And it goes and says this in verse 11. Like the partridge hatching what it did not lay. Like a partridge hatching what it did not lay. So are all who amass wealth unjustly. Those who go and amass wealth, or they go and try to heap up wealth and treasure unjustly, in midlife it will leave them. The Bible says that in midlife it will leave you. If you went and tried to get something unjustly, something that did not belong to you, if you've been ever in a situation where somebody came and robbed a project from you, somebody robbed something, money that didn't belong to him, he came and trying to defraud you of money that didn't belong to him, let him go. Let it go. The Lord says that in a mid-life, it will leave them. And at the end, at their hand, they will prove to be fools. It's not me saying this. It's not Brother Allen saying this. It is the Bible. At the end, they will prove to be fools. Why? Because they hatched eggs they did not lay. Like a partridge hatching what it did not lay. You can't go and get something that didn't belong to you, hatching on eggs you did not lay. Hallelujah. God's wrath and anger, finally, are right, because they are directed against unrighteousness and injustice. God loves us and there's compassion on us, but when we continually and intentionally reject his love and fall in injustice, sin, and unrighteousness while protecting his grace, which is the big buzzword out there, then his wrath, God's wrath, is kindled against us. We fall under God's judgment. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 6, God gives a good metallurgical lesson to his people. I'm talking about metallurgy because I'm a mining engineer, so I understand these things. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 27 to 30, I have made you a tester of metals, and my people the ore, hallelujah, that you may observe and test their ways. They are all hardened rebels, going about to slander. They are bronze and iron. They all act corruptly. The bellows blow fiercely to burn away the lead with fire, but the refining goes on in vain. The wicked are not purged. They are called rejected silver, because the Lord has rejected them. This is what Malachi chapter 3, verses 2 to 3 says. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can endure the day of the coming of the Lord? Who can stand when he appears? For he will come like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. Hallelujah. God will come like a refiner's fire. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have man who will bring offerings in righteousness. Then the Lord will have man who will bring offering in what? In righteousness. Hallelujah. We can bring offerings to the Lord in unrighteousness, in sin and injustice. God wants to clean us, take away all unrighteousness and all religiousness. God wants to take away religiousness. We can't go to church and hate our neighbor. And we can't go give our offering to God while living in sin, adultery, and fornication. Along with giving your offerings to God, God wants to see you walk in justice, in repentance, love your neighbor, pray and love your enemies. When we do not judge our sins and repent before God, we expose ourselves to his chastening, and God, through the Holy Spirit, will act like the refiner. He has to put us through the fire to remove the impurities. The various tests and trials at that time become justified, as Peter puts it in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 6. 1 Peter 1 6 says this: "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be." Though now for a little while, if need be. If need be. If need be. You have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. God's refining test, trials, will only come to you, my sister, my brother, if need be. That's what Peter tells us. God's refining test will come if need be. It is when we need it. When God has weighed us, he has found impurities, unrighteousness, and the leaven of sin, then his justice calls him to refine us in love. His justice calls him to refine us in love, so that the trueness, so that the genuineness of our faith that is more precious than gold may shine before all men, and that they may glorify our Father who is in heaven. Hallelujah. What is the genuineness or the trueness of our faith? Brother Alain, what is the genuineness or the trueness of our faith? Well, it is the way we truly walk and live before God. The condition of our heart before the Lord, before our God. Not merely our position before him, not merely because we are believers, we believe in God, or we are saved, or we are born of the Spirit. No, 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 no. God wants you, sir, ma'am, brother, sister. He wants to see your life reflect his justice and righteousness. You can do this by letting the Holy Spirit of God live the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, through you. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen. Well, thank you for listening. See you next week. You can always reach our podcast anytime you go to our websites at www.riverway.podomatic.com or through our Twitter and Facebook accounts. Thank you for listening. The Lord bless you. See you next week.